Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is hour three of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network on a Wednesday. Thank you for being with us as we are live across the nation, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the East. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up in our final hour, we got baseball to talk about. The Yankees staying alive in dramatic fashion against the Blue Jays, and Aaron Judge with a signature moment for the Pinstripes in 20 minutes. It is one of the best rivalries in college football. We will preview Texas and Oklahoma with Sooners insider James Hale. Best bets and the Donkster coming your way at 8:40. Also, how you doing to our audience on Stadium? We stream each and every day our final hour, and you can do so on BallySportsLive.com or by downloading the Bally Sports Live app. Also, how you doing? Look, I'm going to wave to our audience on X as well as we continue to stream here. And let's get right to it, Chelsea. We got to start with baseball. What an exciting time of year. We're right in the middle of football season. The fall is here, and we get postseason baseball. And let's start with sort of the undercard, if you will, from yesterday. The Mariners beating the Tigers 8-4. Mariners minus 130 on the money line, and the total set at 7.5. The over hits. Mariners, three home runs in this one, but the biggest one comes from the big dumper.
Al is from. He sends one the other way. Well struck ball, deep left field, and gone. Raleigh's first of the playoffs, and it's 8-1 Seattle. They are feeling it.
This comes after solo shots from Eugenio Suarez and J.P. Crawford. Seattle, now one win away from its first ALCS since 2001. Suarez said after the game, quote, "The Seattle Mariners deserve where we're at right now. They look a cut above in this series."
Oh, absolutely. And we finally saw their offense come to play, because the first two games of the series were low scoring and only decided by one run. So finally, a breakout game for the Seattle offense. It's been tops across the board over the last month of the regular season and most of the postseason. You know, I guess not in those two games, but my point being is that they are the better offense in this series, and they finally showed it. So that's my takeaway, I think, for the series moving forward, is what offense will we see from the Tigers? Because that's been the problem for Detroit, is that they'll have these great pitching performances. I know last night was not one of them, but looking forward to the rest of the series, you know, where they have Casey Mize going tonight and possibly Tarik Skubal on the mound. But even when they've had these great pitching performances, like, they have to eke out these wins where it's 3-2 or 2-1. So I think if this Mariners lineup keeps mashing the ball the way they did last night, it's going to be a steep uphill climb for this Tigers team.
I know, and I think I'm going to bet the Tigers today. What's wrong with me? I'm going to do it. This is one of those games where I like to have, I don't know about you, but when you handicap a game, I feel like you're not like this, or at least not as much as I am like this, which is I like to find other opinions that sort of back mine as opposed to going solo. And I feel like here I'm kind of solo. I don't see a lot of people on the Tigers because of the reasons you mentioned. It's hard to back them and their bats, but I think they're the right side today. Do you have to have that sort of secondary reinforcement, or are you like, no, I love this play?
I think if I have enough ammo by myself, because here's the thing, we do this show so early in the morning that, like, sometimes there's no other opinions out there. So,
true.
Like, I think it's, I don't really like relying on other people either. But, like, if you have enough ammo and logic, and I feel like that's the thing on this show, if I'm going to tell people to bet on something, I want a lot of reasoning behind it. So when you look at the numbers, the Mariners do feel like the play when you look at, like, the overall series. But I can understand where you're coming from when it comes to this next pitching matchup, because the pitching matchup does favor Casey Mize over Bryce Miller. But I think for me, it's more that I don't trust the Tigers lineup, because the thing is, like, Casey Mize could have a great game, and we have seen this, where Tarik Skubal has pitched out of his mind, and these were still close games. Like, that's the sabotage factor for the Tigers.
Oh, I know. You're right. Also, did you see the guy who got Cal Raleigh's home run? This guy is going to tell this story for the rest of his life. So that ball went to the bullpen, and a member of the bullpen reached up and handed it to a guy who had on a custom shirt that had 61 on front for 61 home runs for Cal Raleigh, and it said "Dump Here." So this guy who has a "Dump Here" shirt on got handed this ball, and it was like someone handed him like a bar of gold. Like, this was the one guy in the stadium who needed that home run ball.
Ah, how can you not be romantic about baseball, right?
I know.
Especially when it says "dump here." How romantic,
Jakes. Amazing. I mean, that's what makes baseball great. The postseason in baseball, I mean, any postseason is great, but there is something about fall weather and October baseball.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Which is, I mean, that's right where we are right now. And we saw that in the Bronx, so we'll talk about that here in a second. But there is something, even for the casual fan, I feel like that stands out.
Well, especially because baseball has 162 regular season games, and they just don't have the same level of urgency. Because, like, for football, every game matters so much that, like, there is a level of urgency even when it's only the regular season. So it just has such a different feel to it. And, like, the managing actually matters in these games. Like, it's crazy how we don't really talk about managers that much until the postseason. And then it feels like a huge deal. It's like kickers in the NFL, where, like, nobody cares about the kicker until the game's on the line.
Does that matter most in baseball than any other sport, especially in the postseason? I feel like it does, because there are so many different moves you can make from batter to batter, from strike to ball. Like, it's so intricate and so numbers-based. Baseball, which, you know, that's the way it is. I feel like managing in baseball is different than any other sport, and it's not close.
I don't know, because football has play calling, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is a lot more that the coach does. And somebody brought up this point the other day, and, like, I would need to look up the numbers, but they were saying something to the point of, there is a reason that managers in baseball do not make in the same stratosphere as players, like, when it comes to salary. Because their job just isn't as important, because at the end of the day, like, the players still have to execute in baseball, you know? Look at Dave Roberts, who I think some people have pointed at him and said, like, he's made some bad decisions over the years. But when you have a team like the Dodgers, a lot of those mistakes will never see the light of day, because, you know, you're scoring 8 runs a game. So I think it's tough for me to say it's, like, the toughest coaching job. I just think there are only, like, a few main decisions, but you absolutely have to get them right. In football, there is a decision, you know, every play.
Yeah. I think that's what I would say about baseball, is that those decisions maybe are fewer, but they're more critical in the moment, because there's so few of them. It's like, okay, you're not making as many, but you better nail these 3 or 4 crucial decisions throughout the game, or you can cost your team. What an atmosphere last night in New York. The Yankees down in the Blue Jays, 9-6. The Yankees -150 on the money line, and the overhits total set at 7.5. Early on, Blue Jays just looking like they were going to romp in this game. Vladdy Jr., home run for a third straight game. Blue Jays jump out to a 6-1 lead, but the Yankees come back with 2 in the 3rd. They make it 6-3, and then Aaron Judge ignites Yankee Stadium in the 4th.
2-strike pitch. Hits a drive down the line. If it's fair, it's his moment. It is! It's tied! Judge has arrived!
What a call on FS1. Incredible scene in the Bronx. Game tied at 6. And in the 5th, the Yankees keep the hits coming.
There's a drive to deep right field. New York leads for the first time in the series. Judge Chisholm goes deep.
And talk about a bat flip. As soon as he swung through, boom, that bat was gone. The Yankees, 8 unanswered runs. The Pinstripes with their largest comeback ever in an elimination game to stay alive. And if the Yankees needed a boost, they got it from their MVP.
Hell yeah, they did. What a moment for Aaron Judge. And I think we've all been waiting for this postseason. Because in the past, Aaron Judge has put up these historic numbers in the regular season. But coming into this postseason, he was batting career numbers of 200. I think it was like 208. Career postseason batting average. So now, he's been absolutely mashing this postseason. He's now hitting 500 across the board. But the difference between, you know, last night's game and these other games is the fact that he had been merely getting on base. He had been, you know, single hitting for the rest of the postseason, which is good. You still have to get on base. But he's Aaron Judge. I mean, look at the guy. He looks like a superhero. You want this guy to hit game-changing home runs, and that's exactly what he did. Especially when you play for a franchise like the Yankees, your legendary status is made in October. People care about the regular season, but this is a team that has all kinds of championships and all kinds of pedigree. So what matters is what you do in the postseason. So Aaron Judge is finally living up, you know, to the potential that we've seen as the most feared hitter in baseball for the regular season. Now he looks like it in the postseason as well.
7 of 11 in this series, 5 RBI, 3 walks, just an absolute monster. And when you look at that one home run in particular, you can hit a home run, and then you can hit a home run like this, where your team needs you. You got a couple guys on base, and this was not a bad pitch from Willie Varland. He said so after the game, which it's weird that he's starting today's game as well. So that makes me like the Yankees quite a bit. You know, going to be a Blue Jays bullpen game for Toronto, but this was an 0-2 pitch, way inside. That was 99 miles an hour that Aaron Judge turned on, got the barrel of the bat on, and sent out of the park. Like, that's just stupid stuff. And then I saw a tweet from Stucky, who is a very popular sports wagerer. I think you know who he is. And so he said that 528 times this season on an 0-2 pitch, there has been a throw which is inside in more than 99 miles an hour. Not a single one had been hit out of the park until last night. Like, that was a superhuman swing from Aaron Judge.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I think it goes back to the fact that he's not just a home run hitter. He is the best pure hitter in baseball right now. Mm-hmm. The fact that he hit 331 for the regular season, and he's also getting walked a ton just because nobody wants to face him. So it's not just, you know, the caliber of the home runs. It's the fact that overall he is just a great hitter. And we saw that when you can take a pitch like that and send it over the fence and keep it fair, that is a big deal.
Oh, man. And I can't stand the Yankees. I hate the Yankees. But I will say, at the same time, seeing Yankee Stadium go nuts in that moment, and for a guy who is universally considered such a good guy in Aaron Judge, like, I don't know how you can hate on Aaron Judge. Even if you wanted to, you're like, well, maybe he's too nice of a guy. You know, like, everything you see about him is that he's just the nicest guy and so talented. And I will say, as much as I do not like the Yankees, I know there's a lot of New York haters out there. I will say, as a baseball fan, I was like, man, that's a really awesome moment.
Yeah, and you're happy for Aaron Judge because he does seem like a nice guy. And it just feels like every bit of success is measured against guys like Derek Jeter, who's, like, known for his postseason success. You know, like, his regular season numbers are nowhere close to, like, the domination that we've seen from Aaron Judge, but it's like those are the guys that changed the course of history, you know, for the Yankees organization. And I feel like Aaron Boone had to be sitting in the dugout thanking the baseball gods for letting him have Aaron Judge on his team. Because before this, I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, Aaron Boone's at it again. He let Carlos Rodon, you know, pitch to guys and, you know, they're just scoring run after run. This team was in a 6-1 hole. So it's crazy that the Yankees came back. This was a character-building win for the Yankees as a team as well.
Yeah, and, you know, to the point you made earlier, when you have a guy like that, just like Dave Roberts does out in L.A., when you have a lot of guys like that, you can make a miscue, leave a guy in for too long, and then you forget about it. Because are we going to talk about Aaron Boone leaving Carlos Rodon in for too long? No. We're going to say Aaron Judge was amazing, and he was the story of the game. But, man, he can make up for a lot of managerial mistakes. And also, I feel like if you're a guy like Aaron Judge, and you know the history, right? There's no way he doesn't know that he has faltered in postseasons past. We're seeing that with the Phillies right now, with Bryce Harper in particular.
Ooh.
But, yeah, not good. But if you're Aaron Judge and you finally unlock that and you're like, okay, now I've broken through, then it's, you know, it's full throttle because you've broken past that barrier and you're not in your head and you can just play free baseball. And I think that's what we're seeing from him.
Yeah, the mental hurdle has been cleared, and now he can just be his normal self, who is the most feared hitter in all of baseball. And you get Louis Varland pitching to you today, which I don't know if he gets to Aaron Judge. Like, Aaron Judge probably bats third, right? So, like, he probably will have to pitch to him. Like, the total bases for Aaron Judge today, over 1.5, I think it's like minus 120, feels like you almost have to play that.
Yeah, late in the game, no one on, one out. They intentionally walk Judge. It's just like so much respect. Like, even when nobody, we don't want to face you, just go ahead and take your base. He has just been unbelievable in this series. Coming up next on the show, Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer is scheduled to return against Texas. Or is he? We don't know. We're seeing all sorts of headlines. So what are we going to do? We're going to preview the game, and we're going to bring in James Hill from OU Brainiacs, longtime Sooners beat reporter. He is next on the Daily Tip. It is here on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. It's this weekend, Texas, Oklahoma. Maybe not the impactful game that Longhorns fans were hoping for after a couple losses this season to Ohio State and now Florida, but still a huge game nonetheless. We will preview it with James Hill, the longtime journalist on the Sooners beat. Have you seen this story, this headline from the New York Times that has blown up Twitter regarding Arch Manning? It has united fans across college football. This is one of the most offensive and blatant rage bait headlines I've ever read. From The Athletic, many people are having a bad year in college football, but Arch Manning is having one of the worst. The quarterback has gone from preseason Heisman Trophy favorite and projected number one draft pick to a man synonymous with failure. The headline on the article says it's Arch Manning college football's first flop, which I find ridiculous. And it's not just me. Obviously, I'm a Texas fan, but I've seen Sooners. I've seen Aggies. Josh Pate was tweeting about this. Across the board, everyone is saying this is ridiculous. A flop and synonymous with failure because a kid who has started five games this season, who is less than a year into his first season as a starter at Texas, is synonymous with failure. Like, what in the hell are you guys talking about? Even if you don't like Texas, a lot of people hate Texas, there's no way you can justify this headline. He hasn't been Heisman Trophy-esque, not close. He hasn't been a flop. He's been very mid. He hasn't met expectations. And guess what? Those expectations were put on him by us, by the media. Arch himself has said, I haven't done anything. For them to come out and to throw out a headline this egregious is a slap in the face to anyone who watches college football. And it's very mean-spirited, frankly, towards Arch.
It just feels premature to me, right? Like, the season's not over. Like, we were just talking about this in one of our previous segments, how people are so quick to come to conclusions. You know what? Halftime. The game's not over. Like, what if people were writing the headline on the Yankees and Blue Jays series saying, oh, it's time to go to Cancun for the Yankees. Aaron Boone's done. Let's wait and let things play out. Like, we see this in sports all the time where people come back and they, you know, put together a great second half of the season, a second half of a football game. So maybe it looks like that now, even though I don't think he's synonymous with failure.
That's
ridiculous. Like, that's not the first person I think of. It's like, you say the word failure and I tell you the word I think of. Arch Manning. No, I don't think that. Like, I feel like he has not lived up to the hype.
No.
And it's certainly been an upsetting season so far for Texas, but there is still a season left. And we have seen teams, you know, have great comebacks. This with, what was it, Florida last year, where it looks like Billy Napier should, you know, list his house for sale and win all these games in a row. And I'm not saying that, you know, that was a storybook season. I am just saying, let's let his career unfold just a little bit longer before we label him a huge flop.
Yeah, there's also a massive difference between disappointing, not living up to the hype, and synonymous with failure. Like, that is such an offensive line. Do you know how many studs have come out of high school, played maybe a down or two of college football, transferred, never gone anywhere, never done anything? And also, it ignores any and all context, which is he's playing behind a makeshift offensive line, which is almost entirely new and not that good. Like, watch the game tape. Arch will look really good and make some incredible pro throws and then, you know, miss guys who are wide open down the field and just stare down his first option or his first read. So I just, that's been all over my timeline, of course, because I follow a ton of Texas people. But the one tweet that got to me was, who knew that this article about Arch Manning would unite everyone in college football? Like, everyone is saying this is ridiculous, and it is ridiculous. And I can't believe it came from The Athletic, or maybe I shouldn't be surprised.
Well, I think it's upsetting because, like, this is the firestorm that the media created.
Yeah.
Like, this media hype storm that surrounded Arch Manning was not his own doing. Like, it's not his own fault. But again, going back to, like, premature labeling thing, like, look at some of these quarterbacks at their first stops.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Burrow wasn't even the starter at Ohio State. He goes to LSU and is one of the best college football quarterbacks we've ever seen. Look at Bo Nix. People were hugely disappointed with Bo Nix at Auburn because his dad was the quarterback at Auburn. He had this legacy. Maybe not the legacy as, you know, the Mannings, but still a big legacy in Auburn. And then he goes to Oregon and shows
up.
And now he's in the NFL with the Broncos. So, like, let's let his career pan out before we say, oh, he's a huge flop. The guy just started his career.
He just started. I mean, my timeline is flooded here. And I think the biggest point is, like you were saying, look, it just started. And even if you look at draft experts and what they'll say is, okay, he's not close to being ready to be drafted next year. He's definitely a player who needs another year of seasoning. Does he show pro potential? Yes, he does. Does he still make pro throws? Yes, but he's not ready. So these are NFL pundits, guys who do this for a living, saying, no, he has the NFL potential, but it has to develop, and you see that all the time in college football. And also, he's from a smaller school in New Orleans, so when you have such a ramp up in competition, and again, with an offense that has struggled to do anything, even on the ground, it's probably going to take longer than normal. I think that's what we're seeing here. It doesn't mean that Arch Manning is going to be a superstar. It doesn't mean that. He might not. But saying he's synonymous with failure is, I can't imagine how stupid you have to be, or you're just intentionally rage baiting, and neither one of those answers is good.
Well, that's the problem is, like, companies know exactly what they're doing, and I think they want to rage bait because they know they're going to get engagement, and that is the sad state of journalism that we are in. But, Jenks, to spin this forward, do you think this is good enough bulletin board material for Texas to keep it close with Oklahoma this week?
I think Texas is the right side. Right now, Texas is laying 2.5. And, you know, I think PJ nailed this, and I think PJ is a very astute bettor, particularly when it comes to football, and he jumped on this immediately, and this is a perfect buy-low spot on Texas. I think the key, though, is not Arch. I think all the focus will be on Arch, and we will hear about a revenge factor. A revenge factor is not going to help that offensive line. which cannot move anyone. Texas can't run the ball. They can't move anyone off the line of scrimmage, which means they've got to have Arch play hero ball, and he's not ready for that. That's hard enough to do in college football. He's not ready for that. And he had to do it against Florida and actually was not bad. Like, at the end of that game, there wasn't some good clock management. Arch kind of willed them back into that game despite the fact that the offense was so bad. But he's not ready to do that, and especially not ready to do that against this Oklahoma defense. So I don't know how much revenge will play a factor. What I do know is the Texas defense was not prepared for how aggressive Florida was. They underestimated how good Florida is. And here's the thing. Florida may not be a good football team, but the talent's there, which is why the boosters are up in arms. They've recruited really well. So they have the talent. Texas wasn't ready for that. I don't expect a repeat performance from the Texas defense in this game. So I think the Texas defense will come to play. And so the question is, can they keep Oklahoma at bay and generate enough points with a very mediocre offense? I think they can. This is a really good buy low spot on Texas. And also, is John Mateer going to play? Like, that's the real question. And I've gone back and forth here. Let me tell you something about the Sooners. The same reason why James Hale isn't here. I'll tell you one thing, they do another. He didn't show up today. All right, James. We'll give you a mulligan here. We'll show up. Nope, not going to be there. John Mateer's going to play. Oh, maybe he won't. Like, this is all the gamesmanship that goes into Texas and Oklahoma. I cannot tell you, Chelsea, how many times over the years a guy will be injured and we hear, out 6 weeks. And then, what do you know? 2 weeks earlier than scheduled, someone suits up and they play. So one of two things is going on here. Either John Mateer is going to play and Oklahoma is gearing everyone up for him returning and being huge in this game. I sort of thought that initially. I actually don't think he's healthy the more I read about this. I think what's happening is Oklahoma is putting it out there. Mateer's going to play, and maybe he'll play a little. I don't think he's ready, and I think they want Texas preparing for John Mateer, and then Michael Hawkins Jr. starts the game and plays the majority of the game. They're trying to throw off the Longhorns. This is all gamesmanship.
Well, and why would they not use that to their advantage?
Yeah.
You know, it's a big deal, something that you can use against your opponent. But what do you think this line is saying? Because honestly, Jenks, I was kind of surprised to see that Texas was favoring this game.
Me too.
Feel like it's the odds makers saying that John Mateer is not going to play. That or something we're not seeing, because take the two names off of this game, and usually when there is a home team favored against a top 10 team, a big red flag should be popping up in your head. Because usually the odds makers are right in these situations. I will say, from a cautious standpoint, I feel like I personally need to see it from Texas first, because you sold me on Texas against Florida and I totally bought it and I do get it. But I think I need to see it. But strictly from a logic standpoint, usually in these cases where the home team is favored and they are unranked and the other team is in the top 10, usually I will take the odds maker side as opposed to the people who do the AP rankings.
1,000%. This line wants you, sports books want you to bet on Oklahoma here. They want you to bet on Oklahoma.
Right.
Everyone saw what happened with Texas and Florida. Okay, it was a big story last week because it was a massive upset. Texas should have won that game, but they didn't. They got outplayed. Credit to the Gators. But Vegas is saying, look at this. Oklahoma is a dog. Go ahead. So I think Texas is the right side because of that. Now, I'm not going to bet it personally. The one thing I've learned about this rivalry over the years, and it's really hard to understand unless you sort of live it or you've experienced it, is that Oklahoma hates Texas more than Texas hates Oklahoma. Like, I can't stand Oklahoma. Oklahoma sucks. OU sucks. We cheer it at every game. But the Sooners are, like, singularly focused on Texas because it's all... What's in Oklahoma? Nothing. The Thunder and the Sooners. Okay? That's all they got. There's a reason why every single game that Oklahoma plays, when you see an Oklahoma fan, they're playing UAB. What are they doing? Horns down. Like, they are singularly obsessed with beating Texas. And that means that Oklahoma generally comes out with its hair on fire. They come out and they play at an intensity that sometimes it's hard for Texas to match. Like Mac Brown used to say this, and it used to drive me through the roof. He'd be like, you got to survive the surge. Like, survive this, be the surge. Like, he would be like, survive the surge. Like, Oklahoma's going to come out. They're going to be intense. We got to survive the surge. I'm like, be the surge. Be the aggressor. Like, you're already telling your team, they're going to come out more intense than you. You just got to survive it. You got to put up with it. And I was like, that's the wrong message to send, which is why, oh my God, I'm having like PTSD. Texas would go to the Cotton Bowl and get its ass whipped on a couple of occasions, like destroyed. But the point is, Texas has to match that intensity. So that's why the first quarter or so, first 10 minutes of the game are crucial. Because if the Sooners get off to a hot start, Texas is in trouble. If Texas holds its ground and plays good defense, Texas, I think, wins this game.
They need a motivational speech from Beth Dutton from Yellowstone where she says, you are the trailer park, I am the tornado. Like, that's the mentality that they need to have.
Yeah.
It does fit since they're in the Midwest. But Jenks, the total in this game, because I was like, okay, I believe in both of these defenses. But the total is 42.5, I believe. Is
Whoa.
That bettable?
Yeah.
It might be too low.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I don't know if Mateer's going to play. I mean, that's the real key here. But Vegas has to know, right? So I feel like Texas is favored for a reason here. Texas cannot run the ball. They're going to have to throw the ball. And that Oklahoma defense is really good, like very, very good. And then conversely, the Texas defense is really good. And do you really trust Michael Hawkins Jr. to throw the ball against this Texas defense? I don't know if Oklahoma can run it. So this could definitely be a low-scoring rock fight. This could be a 2017 game in Dallas.
I hate playing totals this low in college football.
I do, too.
Just because it feels like there is more chaos. Like, you know, there could be more big plays. There could be, like, a defensive touchdown. I don't know. But I will say this. With everything you've told me about Oklahoma, you know they've got to be pushing Mateer to play. Like, this is a game that the boosters care about. This is where college is different than the pros. They absolutely want this game so bad. They will give him whatever drug he needs.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, with everything you've told me about Oklahoma, I never want to move there. And I'd be like, yeah.
I wasn't gonna.
You went in a different direction. Coming next on the show, got baseball and hockey on the schedule tonight. A little stick and puck, but we'll tell you where we are putting our money. Plus, the Donkster has a big announcement. All right, that's next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday. Welcome back. Everyone's here. I like when everyone's here. Got Dylan in studio. Dylan, Double D, Chelsea. I'm Jinx. Bet Sweat's on the way. Chelsea, did I see you swinging a club yesterday on the links, getting ready for the Ryder Cup in 2 years? What was happening?
Oh, yeah. So it rained for most of the day. So the course was closed. It's behind our house, which means we can walk it for free and nobody is out there. And plus, Jake had off work yesterday. So we as a family love to play golf and walk the course. So that's exactly what we did. It was so nice because that combines like my favorite activities, which is being outside, being active, and like being with my family. So it was a great day.
Oh, that's cool. Cool.
That's
cool. K-E-W-L. Cool. Does Blake have like little clubs that she uses? I mean, I know she's playing softball. She's all over the place, but does she have like a kid's set of clubs?
She has like not a full set, but she has an iron, a driver, and a putter.
Oh,
so
perfect.
Like she uses them pretty well. I feel like I need to get myself some clubs because I have been using my husband's advanced men's set of irons.
Jeez.
And Jenks, that has not been easy trying to hit irons with those. I feel like I've been pretty solid with like some of the longer irons, but I don't know. I feel like iron play is the toughest part for like casual golfers.
Yeah, long irons are brutal. Like I feel like if I have to pull out like a 2 or a 3 iron, which normally I don't hit a 2. I don't play golf that often. Rarely. I used to play on a regular basis, and it's been a long time. Like, maybe at some point I'll take it up again. But I got rid of my old clubs because they were just sitting around. They were old, and I wasn't hitting the course enough. But long irons, I think you're right, are so tough.
Well, the problem is number one, they're too long for me because Jake is taller than me. And also, like, he's not a scratch golfer, but he's close.
Yeah.
So irons for those type of golfers have a lot smaller sweet spot. Because they're, I don't know what it is, but like if you look at beginner sets, the clubs are bigger because they're like, hey, this person needs a lot of help.
Yeah.
Let's give them like a hockey stick to hit
right.
the club with. So I will say it's made me probably a better golfer having to use those advanced clubs. But maybe one day, Jinx, it's just, I still have not played a full round of golf. So I just feel like I can't justify it.
That's wild to me. You've never played a full round at once?
No, I've played bits and pieces, and the problem is my husband's such a good golfer that when I go with him, because I did mm-hmm. play with him before Blake, that I feel obligated to pick up my ball and like give up that hole. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the worst.
I am very self-conscious about playing slow, because there's nothing worse than being behind a group that is absolutely terrible. So I don't want to do that.
No, I get that. I've been paired with people who are much better than me, which is not difficult. And they're playing at such a quick rate and they're so good. Like you feel the pressure to, I have to hurry. And if you're trying to get better, then the last thing you want to do, particularly when you're still trying to improve, is rush your shot, right? Because you're still mm-hmm. trying to figure out, you know, what to do, how to hit, kind of get out of your head because golf is such a mental game. And so half the time you're like, I'll just pick up my ball. And that's not a way to get better over time.
No, but golf is tough, and it just takes forever, because that's the other thing. I just don't have the time to go play all the time, but a girl can dream. Maybe when I'm retired.
Maybe one day. Well, in the interim, what we can do is take a swing and maybe hit some of these bets. Before we do that, got to tell you what's coming up next on Bet Sweats. Sammy V giving out their favorite baseball plays for the day. They'll look at some live dogs for week 6 in the National Football League. Nate Collins is along in less than an hour at 9:20, and then Eric Kratz from Foul Territory TV joins the show at 11 o'clock. All right, money-making time.
Time to place your bets.
Wow, look at this. Inserted into the lineup at the last second. I like this play.
Ah, yes, because this rundown had to make me sign in again. Love that. All right, so best bet of the day for me is banking on the hottest hitter in the postseason for the New York Yankees, and that has been Aaron Judge. Huge moment last night, keeping his Yankees still in the postseason with a game-time home run. And he's been great all postseason long, hitting .500 for the postseason. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBI. So this way, if he walks and he scores a run, that still counts because sometimes that can be the sabotage factor in playing total bases. But if you look at this number of 1.5, hits, runs, RBI, he has hit this in 5 of 6 postseason games. And again, the guy is hitting .500. You have a bullpen game for the Blue Jays today. You have Louis Varland, who was on the mound for that home run that Aaron Judge hit. So I feel like all the factors align here. I think the captain gets it done tonight once again. So let's go over 1.5 hits, runs, RBI for Aaron Judge for my
okay. Yeah. Good call there. I didn't know where you were going to go, but that is a solid play. All right. I have 3 plays on the card today. Whatever. Let's just do it. Let's get this one over with. Tigers money line, -115 against the Mariners. I know. It pains me to say it. It pains you to hear it. Am I really putting money on Detroit? I really am. What? Oh, God. What are you doing? Idiot. Casey Mize is going with the Tigers. Bryce Miller is going for the Mariners. I think the Tigers get back in this thing. Bryce Miller is not a guy you want to trust here. He's given up at least three runs in 10 of his last 12 appearances. Hasn't allowed fewer than two runs in any of those starts. He will get hit. Now, the Tigers have not seen him this season. I don't think it matters. And if you look deeper into the numbers here, on the road this season, Miller is 2-3, 5.56 ERA. This is an afternoon game. Miller has made four afternoon starts this season. He has an ERA of 7.58. I think the Dodgers, or the Tigers, I should say, find a way to win this game. Let's go Detroit on the money line at minus 115.
I have so many theories for today's card, but I don't know if they're strong enough theories to actually play them. Like, I have a lot of leans, but Mama wants to be careful on where she puts her money. So my one lean for the day, this is not official, okay. Phillies Dodgers over 7.5. I do feel like the Dodgers team totals is a good look as well, but I don't know. I think the Phillies show some type of fight here. Yamamoto has really good numbers, but we have seen some cracks in the bullpen for the Dodgers. And plus, I feel like the Dodgers probably can put up a six spot. It is not going to be wild to me if we see Aaron Nola give up at least a couple of runs and only a couple innings. He has a 6 ERA this year. With that Dodgers lineup, I think we're going to see some runs. Over 7.5, I think, is a solid play. Over 4.5, team total for the Dodgers. I think both of those are good looks, but they're not official.
All right. Good to have a lean, though. You know, maybe you think about it when you hear the lean. I got two other plays on the card. I'm getting juicy today. Yankees -1, -136, hosting the Blue Jays here. Louis Varland is going up against Cam Schlittler. Louis Varland gave up that home run to Aaron Judge yesterday. He's back on the mound today. This is a bullpen game for Toronto. John Schneider said so yesterday. Look, Max Scherzer not available. Kevin Gossman not available. So it is all arms on deck for the Jays, and this pen has not been good in the postseason. Jays' pen has given up 19 hits, 12 earned, ERA over 8. Small sample size, but still. And Cam Schlittler has been unbelievable for the Yankees, was electric last time out. We've seen Aaron Judge come alive in this series. Yankees -1. It's -136. Hosting the Blue Jays, worst case, we get a push. And finally, Dodgers' first five-run line, just -115 against the Phillies. Aaron Nola taking on Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Aaron Nola, why is he starting this game? On the road this season, 0-6, 6.97 ERA, an ERA of almost 7. Oh, yeah, he was good last time out against the Twins, a team that quit at the All-Star break. Meanwhile, Yamamoto has been an absolute wagon, a witch. Look at his last five outings, a total of only 2 earned runs. Over 33 and two-thirds innings, he struck out 42 during that time. Also, the Phillies lineup has gone cold. Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper not hitting the ball. And when playing at home this season, the Dodgers' third-best first-five team in all of baseball. I think the Phillies are going home tonight, and it is over early. Dodgers' first-five run line, -115.
Did you see where Nick Castellanos was saying, too many fans in the stands can be a bad thing? He was like, Red October can be good, but sometimes it can be a lot of pressure. What are we doing?
You're losing
it. You need other things to complain about. How about you get some hits? I don't know.
You know it can be bad in October? When your best three hitters go, 1-for-22 or whatever it is. That's not good.
Focus on that.
Let's pivot a little bit. Mm. Okay, I guess we got to pivot to the Donkster here before we get to Joe O. Donkster, come on in.
It's time for my streaming corner. I decided to produce the North Carolina Tar Heel documentary myself.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
You'll get all the tea. What is Jordan Hudson wearing? What does she smell like? And does she love animals?
Yeah. Well, where's this going to stream?
On my new network, DONG. It stands for Donkster Genres. I have more details at a later date.
Okay, no thanks. Do you have a bet?
Cubs, money line, taking on the Brewers.
Okay. Coming up next, that's it's Joe Ho. Joe Ho, good morning. How you doing?
I don't check the Dong network on your work computer. That's what I've been told.
Make sure you're at home first.
Oh. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
All right. So what'd you make of the Yankees last night? What a comeback, huh?
Man.
Gotta pivot.
So have we reached the point of the playoffs? Just play the overs. We're just getting so many runs.
Right?
It was unders early, and I'm looking at these matchups you guys were just talking about. I'm like, okay. So which one of these starters outside of Yamamoto is really going to shut anybody down today? I don't know. It might be a bunch of overs. But today will be fun. This is what we were hoping for. Four games, and get to enjoy it all. It'll be interesting to see which ones wrap up today. It's hard to make calls. Cubs, can you win one?
Can
you get us one? Probably
us one.
Not with the way that they've been playing, giving up a lot of dongs.
There you perfect. Go.
Hey, that's how you wrap a bow on it right there. Mm. Joe, good to see you. As always, pleasure. We're out of time with this edition of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Chelsea, I'm Jinx, and the entire crew hope you have a fantastic Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.